Tonight I wanted to speak about something very important. So the thing I wanted to talk about can give us very, very easily perfection. It is the means of deliverance, especially in this age. It's the most easiest and sublime way to attain perfection. It frees us from all miseries, from body, mind, others, other entities, material nature, like tsunamis, earthquakes. Who can think of other problems we get from material nature?
Drought.
Good one, big one in Australia, isn't it? Anything else? Floods. At the moment it feels more like a flood, isn't it? We had a lot of rain. Comes always in the wrong time. Can anybody think of miseries from other entities? For example, your boss. Does your boss sometimes give you misery? Oh. Another one is the mind and the body. We get miseries from the mind and the body. Who hasn't had ever any miseries coming from their own body? Raise your hand. I expected that. So then we have also birth, death, old age and disease. This what I'm going to talk about tonight is going to free us from all that as well. They're called the fourfold miseries. So some people say we have a fifthfold misery, which is the new age philosophy. So, and the best thing about everything is it's for free. This what can deliver all these goods is actually for free. But if anybody would offer you such a thing, would you take it? Yeah?
Yeah.
Very good. Has anybody an idea what I'm going to talk about? No? Yeah? What is it?
Emotional service?
Yeah. It's a kind of devotional service. It's a way to serve. It's actually the best way. Any more ideas? Chanting, yes. Chanting the holy name. So we are called the Hare Krishnas. Does anybody know why? Maybe because we chant Hare Krishna. It's not just a cult. That's actually a good reason for that. We chant Hare Krishna because we want all these things I was talking about. Those who chant Hare Krishna, they want to attain perfection. They want to be free from any kind of miseries. They don't want to suffer anymore. First of all, we have to understand the nature of suffering as well. It's a big one. They want to have deliverance. All these things are wanted by those who started chanting Hare Krishna. And of course, there has to be some faith. There's a quote from one of the songbooks we have, and it's a quote given by Srila Prabhupada. Those who don't know, Srila Prabhupada was the founder of the Hare Krishna movement. He came from India, he was born in Kolkata, and he came to the West because he could see that we have everything, but we are lacking one thing. And that is the highest thing, so that is God consciousness. So those who are born in India, they are more fortunate because they might not have so much material facilities. I mean, now it's changing as well. But they have the great opportunity that they're born in the Holy Land. So they're more closely connected, they say, to the Vedic culture, to God consciousness than we are in the West. So Srila Prabhupada, he could see that great need in the Western world, and therefore he went on the ship, the Jaladuta, and he came to the West to give us this greatest gift, the matchless gift. So in one of his poems he wrote, he spoke about, like, he first quoted the Hare Krishna mantra. It's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. My dear Lord, and the spirited energy of the Lord. So it's like a translation of this mantra. Whoa. So this door is locked now. Nobody comes in, nobody goes out. My dear Lord, and the spirited energy of the Lord, kindly engage me in your service. I am now embarrassed with this material service. Please engage me in your service. So basically, this holy name of the Lord is that we call out to this, first of all, to the Supreme Lord and to His Supreme Energy. We address Krishna, O Ram. And we address Hare, the Lord's spiritual energy. So it's like an outcall. It's very interesting because if you look at mantras, thank you very much. If you look at mantra, there's like, you know, what was it? Om Shivaya Namaha. Is it right? Yeah? Okay, thanks. And we have so many Om Namo Bhagavate, like we have so many different mantras, and they're all indirect. They all say, like, you know, I offer my respects to this and that and the other. But the Hare Krishna mantra is an out call. It's actually like a child calling for his mom. I studied psychology before I moved in the temple, and they have this theory. They were observing, they were wondering, why is it that when children cry it's so disturbing? So they were observing the monkeys, and they were seeing that if a monkey baby starts crying, everybody around them gets so annoyed that all the other monkey mothers grab this monkey child and throw it to the mom so that the mom takes care of it. So that's, they say it's an evolutionary thing that, you know, the child comes to the mom, that the mom takes care of it. So the same is this mantra. It's not that annoying to Krishna, it's actually the opposite, but it's like an outcall. It's like we address Krishna directly, we say, Hare Krishna. It's like, please Krishna, hear me, I'm here. I've been up to a lot of nonsense in the past, but I think I'm getting sincere now. So we're calling out to the Lord. And we're asking, we want to endear ourselves. We ask Him, please engage me in your service. So the chanting itself is already service, but we ask for service to develop our relationship with the Supreme Lord. We don't want just like, oh Krishna, oh Hare, please give me wife, color TV, good income, the latest, what is the latest thing in IT? Oh, of course, yeah. So many things. So we don't ask that. We ask, please engage me in your service so that I actually am able to develop my, or redevelop my eternal relationship I have with you, but I've forgotten about. So this is what the Hare Krishna mantra basically means. Yes?
The literal meaning.
Well, Hare is the invocative of Hara, which is the name of Radharani. And Krishna means the all-attractive one, or the reservoir of all pleasure. These are the most direct translation of Krishna.
From my language, I think Hare Krishna actually means Krishna overcomes me of my suffering. Hare meaning He overcomes. So Krishna overcomes me of my suffering. From my language. That's
which language is that?
Hindi.
I've not heard that one. But of course, yeah. It's one of course that's what Krishna is doing as well. It's for example called Mukunda, one who gives liberation. It's one of the Krishna's names. One who can bestow mukti. Yeah. Thank you. So that's another very important quote, which is related directly to why the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is so important in this day and age. Anybody knows, you might have heard about that we have a cycle of four ages, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali Yuga. So the bad news, we are in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga means the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. It's kind of obvious these days, isn't it? So the verse I'm reading is Harinam Harinam Hare Namaisa Kelavaram Kalanaski Vanaski Vanaski Vagati Anyata. In this age of Kali, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy names of Hari. There's no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. So say, if you say something three times, you really mean it, isn't it? So in this age, in the previous ages, people were going out doing huge sacrifices. Or they went to the Himalayas and did like severe austerities for so many years. But who can do it now? You know, really, who can do it now? Who can meditate staring on the tip of the nose for, you know, 20 minutes even and think of nothing? Can anybody do that? Think of nothing for maybe like 5 minutes, completely empty the mind? I promise after 3 minutes your cell phone rings or somebody comes in the door or something comes in your mind what you forget to do this day. So these processes, they're not that powerful anymore because our age is just so disturbed. Our minds are so disturbed. Our minds flicker from one place to another. Even Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita says that the mind is obstinate and very strong. It's more difficult to subdue than controlling the wind. And that is Arjuna. You have to imagine Arjuna was standing right next to Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And he was saying, so what can we say about our minds? So the chanting of the holy name can do this thing in this day and age. It actually has that power. This process of Hari Kirtan is to chant the Maha Mantra, the great chanting for deliverance. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In the Padma Purana, it is stated there's no difference between the holy name of the Lord and the Lord Himself. As such, the holy name is as perfect as the Lord Himself in fullness, purity, and eternity. The holy name is not a material sound vibration, nor has it any material contamination. So many times you hear people speaking about devotion. They speak about bhakti yoga. And at the same time, they speak about becoming one. So it sounds like there's a few things being mixed up. There's basically two paths. There's one path of the yogis who try to understand that they are one with the Supreme. They understand there is a oneness. That's what people speak about these days. They say it's one. So they meditate on actually everybody is some kind of God and we just have forgotten. So we are covered at this stage with the material energy, but once we understand that we attain to our original position and are some kind of God or one with God. So they consider that the chanting of the holy name or devotional service is some kind of karmic, like is mentioned in the Karma Kanda, so it's a pious activity. It is not that chanting of the holy name or devotional service in any kind is a material activity. It's already on the transcendental platform, you have to understand it. Once you start chanting, we are already on the way to perfection, we are already engaging in pure transcendental service. But at that stage we are not entirely aware because we are not with our consciousness entirely aware of it. But this is a transcendental activity, it's not an ordinary activity. So it said that the Lord is non-different from the holy name. So why don't we, when we stay here and we chant the holy name, why don't we experience completely the Lord? Does anybody know? Because it says the holy name is non-different from the Lord. And it's a way of perfection. It's going to deliver you from all miseries. What is it why we don't experience it instantly?
It's the consciousness. You know, one needs to be absolutely pure. You know, one must consider oneself to be lower than a tree, like a straw, grass. In that purity, then one chants God's name without any offense.
He's been very attentive. So it's the consciousness. A consciousness has to come to a certain level that actually we are approaching the Supreme Pure, so our consciousness has to be pure as well. So the Holy Name might not be as effective as we think and as it's promised, but this is because our consciousness has not yet been elevated to that platform. For example, we have this story from Ajamil. It's a very famous story in the Srimad Bhagavatam, talking about this this boy who was very pious, and he was working under the order of a spiritual master. And but unfortunately, he fell down. So he got himself into all kind of trouble. He was stealing, he was chasing the women around, he was doing all this nonsense, and he forgot all about any kind of spirituality in his life. He was a pretty bad guy at the end, a real rascal. So what happened was, he had, when he was really, really old, don't get me wrong, I think he was 88 years. And at 88 years, he still had a little boy. So this boy, he called this boy Narayan, which is the name of the Lord. This very little boy just started speaking. And Ajamil came to the end of his life. 88 years, so he was actually dying. And in the Vedas it said that when you die, there's two kind of people coming. Either the good ones or the dead ones. It's up to how you've been in your life. So either the Yamadutas, the messengers of the Lord of Death, they're the ones you don't want to see. You know, because they get you into trouble. And they're the Vishnudutas, or the messengers of Lord Vishnu or Lord Narayan. So at the time of his death, he saw the bad guys, because he's been not very good for many years before he died. And while he was seeing them, he called out in such a fear, he called out the name of his son, Narayan. He called Narayan. And once he called this name, the Vishnudutas, the messengers of the Lord, came. And they got in a bit of an argument with the Yamadutas, because both were thinking they were right. So Yamadutas say, hey, listen, this guy has been doing this, that, the other. He has so much on the list, you know. You can't really get them up there, you know. He has to suffer for a little while. And the Vishnudas said, no. He has uttered the name of the Lord, and he has been doing that pretty purely. So he's ours. You better go. You go off. You tell your Yamaraj. So this is what the Yamadutas did. They took off, pretty frustrated, and they went to Yamaraj, and they said, dear Yamaraj, you know, we just wanted to get, you know, Ajamil, who's rightfully ours, you know, because you know all about it. And once we wanted to take him, the Vishnudutas came. And they said that because he's been chanting the holy name of the Lord, he should go to the kingdom of God. So Ajamil was telling him they're actually right. So Ajamil was safe from all the trouble, because he just purely chanted the Lord of the name of the Lord. So it is that powerful. It is really that powerful. And the most important thing of the chanting is actually how we approach it. It takes a little bit of commitment, but once we start committing a little bit and we really try, we make a minimum of rounds a day. We maybe start off with one even. I tell you, my spiritual master, Devamrita Swami, he started off chanting with one bead a day. And now he's my guru. He's really incredible. He's coming here many times. He's coming back in September. He's giving a retreat for those who are interested. It's been advertised here as well. So he started off with one bead, one mantra. And he made it. So we have to commit a bit. We have to give a bit to the name of the Lord. And once we do that, Krishna will bestow everything upon us. He will give us a taste, he will give us a purification, he will expand our consciousness. We will be able to see so many things. And the Holy Name, what it does, it's like a very powerful cleanser. He cleanses away from our heart all these misgivings. You know, we might have so much greed, we might have so much anger, we might have so many things in our heart. But once you start chanting the Holy Name, these things will gradually diminish. and they will diminish according to the sincerity in which we approach the holy name. So once we start chanting and really try to put our mind onto it and really try to understand that actually Krishna is the Supreme Lord, He will take away these obstacles which contaminate our heart. And I tell you what, it makes so much more happy not to be angry, not to be greedy, not to have so much lust. It makes so much more happy. They're called anatta, so unwanted things in the heart. Is that, how does envy feel? If you have, like, you see somebody has something better, how does it feel? Hmm? It's like this little this pinch in the heart, isn't it? It's kind of this little thorn sitting right there, and you think, you hope this person wouldn't be there. So this is what these impurities do to us. They actually make us suffer. So the holy name of the Lord, it cleanses us all away. It's like this really powerful detergent, just wipes over the heart. So there's an injunction, as Prabhu already mentioned, which is given from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's considered the latest incarnation of the Lord. And he actually started, or not started, it's been always been there, but he kind of emphasized the chanting of the holy name. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us a Chikshastika, and in the Chikshastika, the third verse says, one can chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking himself lower than the straw on the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. This very deep humility required to attain perfection, to chant the name of the Lord pure, because God is supremely pure. So to approach something which is so spotless, we have to be ourselves spotless. And the end and the means are the same. So we actually come to that platform by just doing it and just trying. It's actually very, very beautiful, this Shikshastika. They're the main eight verses from given by Chaitanya. I'm just going to read that through if everybody doesn't mind. Chitudapanam Vajanam Bhavam Hadavakni Nivapanam Shayakaravat Chandika Vitananam Vidyavadu Jivanam Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam Pratipatam Purintasvadanam Saratmas Napanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Glory to the Shri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life, of repeated birth and death. The Sankirtan movement is a prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge, it increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. Nam nam nakari bahuda anija sarva chaktis trapitani amitas marane nakalaha itadushi tavakripa bhagavan mamapi tudevamisham vihajanina nugraga. O my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benedictions to living beings, and thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names you have invested all your transcendental energies. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. O my Lord, out of kindness you enable us to easily approach you by your holy names, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. Tuinada pisa nichina taro pisa hishtana amanina manadina kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw on the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Naranam dhanajanam sundarim kavitam vajagritisha shakamaye mamajam ni jamanishvare bhavatak patiyai trihitvaye. O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, no desire beautiful woman, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service first after birth. Ayananda tanuja kinkaram patitamam vishami vivambudu kripayata vapada pankajas sita dulit sadushim vichintaya. The son of Maharaj Nanda Krishna, I am your eternal servitor, yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the Adams at your lotus feet. Dayanam galadashtitaraya varanam gadgara rudayagaya pulakyani chitam vapukada tava namagrani bhavishyati. O my Lord, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up, and when will my hair, the hairs on my body stand on end at the recitation of your name? Yigayitam nimishina shakshasha pravishayitam shundyayitam jagat saram govinda vinahiname. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. Ashishyava parara tampinashtumam adarshanam brahmahatam kurutuva yatatatava vidatatu lampatu matpranas natastusa eva napara. I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me broken-hearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipful Lord unconditionally. It's very beautiful, isn't it? So this is how to approach the name of the Lord, and it's like actually it's a gradual development. We start off to, you know, like to cleanse our heart, and ultimately we come to the highest perfection and we can chant the holy name of the Lord purely, and we will feel all bliss through that. There's no bliss higher than actually experiencing the presence of the Supreme, and the most direct way we can do that is through the chanting. So, can you just ask how many people have tried chanting? I know Tim does. I hope Dale does too. No, just kidding. Who has never ever chanted around? Who has never ever chanted like on beats? Nobody? Really? Just too shy to lift the hand. Well, it's never too late. So if you like to start, maybe just start chanting one round or so. It's really, really amazing. You're doing very well, but even better you do it if you just do it alone. Because sometimes you see people driving the car and chanting on their beats. It's a bit of a sad story, but I think it was in Mayapur. Jayapataka Maharaj, one of the, you know, the gurus in the ISKCON, he was saying, I'm with my devotees till 80 km. Yeah. Like a camp, HD, I just say like kilometers, like, you know, driving in a car. He said, till 80, I'm with you. Afterward, you're on your own. Because unfortunately, there were several devotees dying in car accidents because we were chanting and driving at the same time. But they hopefully went back to the Lord. But it's not quite recommended, you know. So the best way is really to take the time.
That's
Krishna.
That's why I drive manual car.
Sorry?
That's why I drive manual car.
Okay, very good, very good, thank you. Because, you know, like, for example, those who are married or, you know, in a relationship, for example, if you, you know, your girlfriend, your wife is talking to you, and while she's talking to you, watching TV and running around and doing all these things, talking to other people, she's going to get really angry after a while, you know. So we do that sometimes with the holy name, you know, we chant, but we do so many other things as well. And they're actually talking to a person. Krishna actually is a person, and he's listening. So, and if he gives him full attention, he will give us full attention. If he thinks like, oh, you know, I'm a little bit interested, but I'm interested in so many other things, and Krishna says, all right, fair enough. And we get going with it. But if you say, oh, my mind might be everywhere, but I really try, and Krishna, I am somehow sincere, and I really sit down, and at least I make the external arrangements and nothing is going to disturb me. Sometimes there's disturbances and we can't really do anything about it. And if we really try hard, okay, I'm just going to start doing the externals and I try working on the internals and please help me. And Krishna certainly will reciprocate. He will certainly help us. It might take a little while, he might, you know, let us try for a little while, but we will get the mercy. There's this verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam which says that, I can't exactly remember, that those like who are constantly trying for perfection and they're, you know, they're always doing their very best, for them the kingdom of God has become their rightful claim. So actually Krishna promises us, if we do so, if we really try, if we follow Krishna's instructions, you know, there's no, that he will give us everything. He will, you know, he will bring us back to him where we supposedly live in full bliss eternity and complete knowledge, Satchidananda. Not in material body which is dying, which is diseased, a mind which has so many things going on, and a very short lifespan. Actually, we have a very short lifespan. Life is very fast. It goes very, like, especially like after you come out of puberty and you come, you know, to the 18, like 20 years, something like that, life really speeds up. So it's such a short time. And the Hare Krishna mantra says we can attain perfection in this life. You know? And nobody wants to die. Isn't it? It's not a very pleasurable experience. So, we might just try it this lifetime. Might just give it a shot, you know? And it's not that we just, you know, we chant and the rest and our life becomes like very, you know, strained and miserable and everything. Everything just goes. That the amazing thing of the Hare Krishna mantra is it's not just our spiritual life which is increasing. Actually, our material life becomes so much better as well. I can speak for myself. 6-7 years ago, I was hanging out with people who were getting drunk, doing all this kind of nonsense, and my health wasn't good, my diet wasn't good, my mind wasn't good, everything, my family wasn't good, nothing was good. And I come to the devotees and have the best friends in the world, have the most beautiful place to live, have the best food to eat, have a pretty peaceful mind now, and so many other things. So, and you know, like our relationships are so beautiful, even materially, it's such a good deal. And I have many, like I'm doing a lot in the city and there's many people coming in. There's, for example, one girl I've been, you know, kind of spending quite a bit of time. And she comes just from such a horrible background, you know. She went through so much abuse. Her family is pretty much a mess. Like, there's so much suffering. And but when you start approaching Krishna, even your material suffering diminishes so much. So much. Even if you think you're quite happy, but there's so much, that's so much better to get, you know. Even people who are kind of in a nice kind of environment, you know, they don't suffer too much. But your life becomes so much better if you approach Krishna. In every respect, he really looks after you. So I all humbly request you, please try this process out. Please introduce some chanting in your life if you haven't done it, and if you're doing it already, do some more. Commit some more to Krishna. And as Srila Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and your life will be sublime. Are there any questions anybody wants to ask? Any comments? Anything? No? Yes,
Prabhupada. You stated that when one chants, one can't approach Krishna, Sri Krishna, because of offensiveness. One tries to, by one's, I thought you were saying, by endeavor, one approaches offenseless chanting.
Yeah.
But that would make most of us never achieve the end. I thought that when you're chanting, it's the purity that Krishna is complete in his name and he purifies us. So by the process of that, then we become purified. It purifies us. It's not our endeavor, you know, it's our endeavor. But it's the chanting of the holy name's purity that purifies us and cleanses us.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's like the way and the mean and the end are kind of the same. It's like a two-way kind of road. We chant, and to get purified, and we get purified by chanting. So, like, you know, the chanting is the means to purify us. So we approach the chanting in a contaminated state, maybe. But we come to that point through the chanting. At the same time, they say you have to chant purely. But they actually get that through chanting. But if you don't endeavor, you won't progress. And I've seen many times the people, they chant, but like my guru Maharaj, he always says it's like cooking with smoke. And if you cook with smoke, it doesn't really do a lot. If you cook with fire, that really does the job. So you can chant, it's like cooking with smoke, and you can chant, it's like cooking with fire. If you look at advanced devotees, how they chant, they really have their heart into it, you know? They don't just do all kind of things and they're completely all over the place and whatever. You can see that. You can see how people chant. You can see where the mind goes. You know? It's like some people do it very, you know, like mechanically. But that it doesn't really attract so much attention of the Lord. You know, if you, for example, if you do something for somebody because you have to, you know, like, that's good. But it's better to do it out of, like, you know, the deep desire to really please that person, you know. Somebody kind of, you know, for example, you know, somebody does something for you because they feel obliged, like they kind of need to. You won't be that pleased. If somebody does it, for example, you know, a child bakes a cake for their mother. And the cake might be really bad. It might be burned and whatnot, but the mother is so pleased. Because you can see that the child put so much effort in it, you know. So it's like we offer a little giwik to the sun. And the sun is so huge and massive in heat and light. And we offer this little giwik. This is what we do. But Krishna is so pleased just by this little bit of devotion he put in. You know, bhakti is not something about, you know, doing things kind of really big. It's all about the heart. It's how much we put our heart into it. So it is really, it's a lot. It is the holy name, of course, but the power from the holy name comes, it is there, but it's much more available for those who put the endeavor in it. There's a dancer. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu.
Like when you start chanting, then it's kind of just, it's not a regular word or anything. They're not regular words. It's not something you get bored of if you chant. Because you're saying the same thing again and again. But it gets better. It gets more enjoyable. It's not mundane.
Yeah. That's a very interesting thing. I remember when I first became a devotee, I was I was going doing a bhakti course. And my teacher, his name actually was Radha Vallabha, same name as our deities here. And he was saying, when you say Donald Duck, like how many thousand times do we say the Hare Krishna mantra? I mean the names. I can't remember. It's like if you say, like, for example, let's say, like, for 2.5 hours you say Donald Duck. At the end of that, you're completely loopy. You know, just do that every day, every morning. He's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to wake up anymore. But the holy name, it becomes sweeter and sweeter the more you do it. The more, you know, it's a transcendental sound. It never gets stale or boring. It's actually, it increases in quality. So we can very easily prove in that way that it's actually on the spiritual platform. Because it's ever fresh. And another name of Krishna is Narayovana. You know, his name's ever fresh. It never deteriorates. Thank you. Anything else? Yes?
Yeah, I came in just a little bit late into the lecture, and you mentioned about material life achieving perfection. Was that the statement made about achieving perfection in material life?
Can you? Do you think that's possible?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Okay. I must have misunderstood. I thought you were talking about achieving some form of perfection in our lifetime.
Well, I guess...
By chanting.
No, it's... they're saying you attain perfection in life, But even on the material platform, often there's this fear connected. You know, when people approach spiritual life, they think, oh, I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to lose my family. I'm going to lose my job. I'm just going to, after a while, just going to go to the forest and sit there and meditate. Or something. It's not true. Even in the material life becomes so much better. Because it get, you know, your life becomes purified, and happiness comes through. Happiness actually ultimately comes through purity of consciousness.
So you don't believe in perfection through chanting, right?
You attain perfection through chanting, but the
In what aspect? In what aspect do you achieve perfection?
Well, perfection is that you go back to the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
You go back to Godhead. You go back to Krishna, that's perfection.
But then, like, if you achieve perfection, then, I mean, so that to me sounds like, you know, a state in the garden, the condition of the garden death, and then if you're achieving, you know, in that sense, you know, you create the garden, and then it's, you know, you finished it, but, you know, the garden...
Oh, well, then it just, this, then it's just the start.
It's like life is
then it just starts.
You never achieve perfection.
You achieve perfection, but it's dynamic.
Yeah.
So the spiritual world is not that we just all kind of, oh, we have achieved perfection, hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that you kind of get bored after a while, and what now? Maybe you should go back and have a beer, you know?
Yeah.
That's not what it means to have perfection.
Yeah.
Perfection is dynamic. If you're perfection here in the spiritual world, you actually associate of Krishna, and this is where real fun is at.
There
are
so many people trying to achieve perfection to make this in the 90s.
No, our philosophy is you can read all about it, you know.
Sure.
you're not here the first time, are you?
Sorry?
You're here the first time?
No.
No. Have you read any of the books?
Sorry?
Have you read any of the books?
I've read parts of some books, yeah.
Maybe you can read Krishna book.
Well,
you can maybe read the Krishna book. It says all about what Krishna is doing in his free time. And you can be part of it. Cool. Well, it's... Hi, Yapu.
If I cook something and they use onion for that, can I offer to Krishna or not?
Well, Krishna doesn't like onions, you see. If you like onions, then maybe you make a separate dish. Better not. You can use asafoetida. You can use asafoetida. Hing. That's pretty good. Helps. No garlic, no. Nah.
What's wrong with white?
Well, they say that it lowers the consciousness. They say that. Garlic is in the mode of passion and onions are in the mode of ignorance. So he tried to stick to the food which is in the mode of goodness. Don't ask about the chilies because I don't know that either.
But why is that?
It lowers the consciousness. We approach, you know, we try to elevate our consciousness in the mode of goodness from which, like they say, goodness is next to godliness.
Yeah. But
sorry.
Why in the sense was garlic? I mean, for what reason is garlic and onions? I mean, I know you say it lowers consciousness, but how do you do that?
So no onions. Sorry.
Sorry.
No worries. Yeah, that's a few things. But, you know, it's enough food to eat, I guess. You know, you will experience a dinner here tonight, so, you know, you don't starve to death because you don't have onions. Is there anything else?
Oh, you have a question?
Sure.
Why do you use beads? Like, why can't you just chant without the beads?
Well, you can, but it's better to use the beads. And because, like, it engages the sense of touch. It's and also it's, you can count so that you stick to a specific amount of meditation. So, you can chant anytime, you can chant anywhere as you like, but it's better, it's recommended to chant with beads. And if you look in different traditions, the Christians don't chant on rosaries. It's only Catholics thing, isn't it? Yeah. The Catholics, they chant on rosaries. You know, the Muslims, they have their little beads. The Buddhists have beads. So it's like, there's something about it, you know? Yeah. And it's nice, you know, it's like, also becomes like a habit, you know, like you have something to touch and it just keeps the mind a bit focused on what you're doing. Anything else? All right, thank you very much.